Well, it's now the Bryce Wilson Show, and the star of our show is Bryce Wilson.
Good morning, hi, guys, Bryce. And good morning, Flathead Valley.
Right back at you.
Well, you know, we talked last week a little bit about if maybe we'd stop in and talk a little bit about our International Baccalaureate program.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd remember that.
Yeah, so I thought we'd just start off with it. Might as well, you know. So I talked to my director of our IB program, Kelly Higgins, and I said, you know, why don't you give me a few things that maybe, you know, we haven't talked about or people out there would like to know. So our IB program, really, just to give you the quality of our teaching staff, they just got back from the Northwest Conference over in Portland, I believe it was. And when they went over there, our coordinator was a speaker at the event, and she is the presiding, I believe, president right now of the conference. And so she's the deputy director of the organization and supports IB schools in all five states. So in the Northwest area, she's really one of the ones that's like the key people right now. And then our IB music went over there, and they got to listen to the IB people, and we had our Spanish teachers over there. So I mean, we're talking, our folks are right along with, rubbing elbows with the top of the IB folks. Wow. And, you know, that, what does that translate for our kids? Well, this is what it translates to. You know, 63% of our juniors and seniors, so over 400 students, are taking at least one IB class.
Okay. Can we step back a minute here and explain to people what the International Baccalaureate is?
Good call.
I remember it being around when I was in high school, but I don't remember it being as widely participated in.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, well, we were the first IB school in the state of Montana. And so IB is an International Baccalaureate program. And it basically has a curriculum that if your school does it, it is something that's internationally recognized. You know, our tests are, when we take exams, they're given across the whole world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's they have a whole theory or philosophy about what the IB learner profile looks like and what they're trying to do. And we've talked about it in the show, and what it out there, folks, is basically critical thinking about a subject, a topic. Mm-hmm. And so they don't just, you know, it's not just facts, memorizing facts and pulling that together. It really is much deeper than that. And with that, they reflect on the learning that they're brought to them. They write essays. The curriculum is very tailored to all schools, but you can tailor it to any topic. So when my son, when he graduated, he really talked about the fact that it was how he learned to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it really becomes down to, you know, analyzing something that you want to learn about, and then, okay, let's look at the facts on both sides and let's work from there and analyze it and talk to people about that critical thinking.
Okay, so what students would choose to be a part of an IB program?
You know, that's a great question. We talk about actually any student who is even a C student, mm-hmm, who wants to work at their education can be an IB student.
Now, since it's international, and you said the testing is recognized all over the world, does it give a student a leg up to go overseas and participate in the workforce?
Well, what they can do is, if they were to transfer to an out-of-country school that was an IB school, they could continue their IB education there. And then you have the possibility of getting an IB diploma.
Wow.
Which is just a very, you know, elevated. A lot of times if our kids get an IB diploma, that really carries at least a full year of college credit.
Okay, so we've had that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we have anywhere between, I'll say 15 and 30 kids any year, in any given year, will get an IB diploma.
Wow.
Now, this last year, we had some phenomena that we've never had before.
What would that be?
We had a student get a perfect score in all subject areas.
Wow, jeez.
And so a perfect score is a 7. She got a 7 in all areas. Less than one percent of like 1% of people get that. So that's just amazing, obviously on her own accord. But then, you know, we talk about this at Flathead High School, 92% of our kids who take the exam are actually 92% pass rate. So if they've taken an exam, we have a 92% pass rate. The international average is 79%. And again, anyone really that wants to, we've had students that have been, struggled in reading as freshmen, and we've helped them get into reading intervention, and we've helped their reading scores so that by the time they're seniors, they've passed the IB exam. So again, you know, John, you talk about who would be interested in it. Well, that's a struggling student that if they were focused and they wanted to do it, they can. Obviously, it's definitely a huge enrichment to our upper level kids because they can go right off from college.
So this isn't necessarily an honors program.
It doesn't have to be that. No, that's right. And so, I mean, obviously there are some honors kids that definitely automatically kind of flow into that.
Yeah.
But we encourage anyone that has a desire to go into it.
So can we say this is a different way of learning?
You know, I think it is a little bit different than what we thought of in the past. I think, you know, when I was in school, we had the AP program. And, you know, I just, you know, it's a valuable program, and it is memorization more of facts. I think that the IB program really brings out the critical thinking and several other things about that open-mindedness and knowledgeable and communicators, and just thinking skills that typically in past we necessarily didn't hone in on as much. And then I think Robin's, you know, point too is, you know, how is this going to help them? What is this going to do if they get that IB diploma or even just an IB certificate? And what happens is, you know, our kids, they've gone off to every school in the country. I mean, you name the school, they probably we've almost been to everyone. They come back, and I distinctly remember a gal that went to Stanford. She came back and, you know, boy, how was it at Stanford? You know, it's a little easier than it was at Flathead for my senior year. And, you know, that's the thing you hear is that they're prepared and well prepared for college. And so it's really that next level thinking. And a lot of times when they go off to college, they get college credit. Now, I've talked about the full diploma might give you a full year. Even if you take one class, you can get anywhere between 3 to 6 credits just because you took one class at Flathead High School. So, you know, there is a cost to it. There is a fee, an exam fee. But really, when you look at that compared to the cost of college, it's well worth it. I'd say it's 10 times your money. And so, you know, I've talked about this before. I had one son that just did one class and he got 6 credits. And it was an English class and he was a very good writer from it. And his college professors would email him and say, wow, are you sure you're a freshman? And then my other son did the full IB and he went into Montana State as a sophomore. So there's, you know, just the breadth of what you can get from it and how you can benefit really is tailor-made to any kid that wants to do it.
Now, the kids that graduate, when I was part of the graduation ceremony a few years ago, I turned around and looked and I was amazed at the number of kids that were in the IB program that had that special thing around their neck.
Yep. Yeah, they do. They have the cords and they're in every program. I mean, it's in science. There are 6 different areas that you can be in. And there'll be some kids that will just do one of those areas. And then you have the full diplomas that had all of them. And so it's a really amazing program. It really is something that benefits kids. And it really benefits, I think, our students, not only that are not in IB, because our teachers become more and more like that IB-centric way of thinking, and it carries over into other classes. Because there's a lot of times our teachers will teach an IB class, a Lang and Lit, 11th grade Lang and Lit class, and they'll take that same kind of philosophy even when they're teaching like a mythology class. So that's the beauty of it. I think it carries throughout the whole school. It gives the whole school a feeling. You know, not every program we have is IB. We also have a biomed program that's not IB, but it's an outstanding program. So, you know, we also have not just said, well, that's the only thing we care about. We care about every program we offer. I mean, you know, you have the student-built house and all that. But our IB, we're very proud of because we were the first school in Montana. And that is a special thing that will always be there. And it's also something that I think our kids benefit greatly from.
All right. I appreciate the explanation. Thanks.
Yeah, I got deep enough into it for you and, mm-hmm. or yeah. explained it for everyone. So on some of the fun things that also, we just couldn't do it obviously this week because we're out of school today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So the last three Fridays, and I probably didn't talk about this enough, our football team went to the Southside Elementaries and they just hang out with the kids in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so we call them Flathead Fridays. They went to Peterson, they went to Elrod, Hedges, and Rankin, and just hung out with kids. And then when the bell rang, they would walk them into the classroom and hang out for a few minutes before they would dismiss them back to Flathead High. So I just wanted to put a shout out to those kids for doing that. Yeah. Just so nice for them to give back a little bit to the community that they grew up in.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. The weather I'm kind of jealous of, because if you remember a year ago, there was a storm warning coming in about this time.
Yeah.
And I talked about, I was hosting state cross country last year and the challenges of, we ran it over 2 days because of the challenges of COVID. And that was a challenge. We're going to run on Saturday. They're all going to do it all in one day again, back in Missoula. It will be a great weather event. At least it should be pretty nice out. And we've got a couple of competitors, you know, that are going to compete. You know, Gabe Felton on the boys' side, he has been in the top 15 or so, and so he should be maybe an all-state selection at the end of this race. And then Lily Rumsey Esch could be in the top 5, even top 3. You know, if she has a great day, you never know. You know, she can maybe be that state champion. She's a sophomore, so she's running against some seniors that have been there before. So anyway, that'll give her a great opportunity to maybe go out and be on top. But I am kind of envious of the weather that's going to happen on Saturday down in Missoula. We have our last football game tonight. You guys will be there. I know that Joe will be.
We will.
And that's going to be down at Missoula Hellgate at the Big Sky Stadium. Kickoff is at 7, and they have their senior night, so that always takes a little bit of time before the game. But we're looking forward to it and competing. We're a little thin on a few spots, but we're going to go out there and compete. The kids have a great attitude. The coaches have had a great attitude, and we're going to just keep getting better.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great thing there. So no school today. So what do you do? Well, you send the volleyball team to Helena. So they're going to go and compete in Helena today and tomorrow, and that'll be good. They get they're actually huge games for them. As you may know, they are in second place. They beat Glacier both times. Glacier is in fourth, but we're playing against the third and the fifth. So Helena and Helena Capital are right there with us. The four teams are in the mix, and depending on how this weekend works out, we'll shuffle the deck of where everybody lands. Hmm. So hopefully we're going to go down there and take care of business, but it is obviously you're on the road. Got to go out and learn how to compete on the road. So here we go.
Oh, good. How about the bus situation?
You know, the bus situation has gotten better. It's not great, but it's gotten better. I have not had to ask parents to transport in the last probably couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But we are going to do something actually down in Helena, because when you go down there, there are these restrictions too, the federal restrictions on how many hours you can drive and stuff. And so when we go down there, we want to stay and watch the Carroll College volleyball game. And so if you take the kids in the morning on the bus over to Helena Capital, that starts that person's day. Mm-hmm. So we are going to ask the parents to take them over for the initial games. Then the bus driver won't have to go over there until we have to pick them up at like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So their day won't start until then. Then they can take them over to the volleyball at Carroll. And then after that, they will go ahead and come home. But that's the only way, you know, you can do it with the time frame. But, you know, as far as bus drivers, we've had enough. It's scary to me when we get to winter because, you know, we have boys and girls basketball. And so usually one's away, one's home. Uh-huh. But that's one bus. And then Glacier has a bus. And then Speech and Debate has a bus for both schools. You've got four buses going out on one day. It starts adding up. Yeah. It starts adding up, and they're still very thin. They don't have a lot of extra bus drivers. You know, I talked to Rick Federhoff on Tuesday night at the soccer game, the boys' soccer game, and, you know, he's one of our drivers, and I really appreciate him. He's just a great man, and he's working more, I think, than he'd want because he's got, you know, there's nobody else. And so he becomes, you know, like our boys soccer always, I think he took them almost to every game, but he's busy, you know, and he's kind of, you know, looking to retire a little bit. And so it's been hard because I think that those are the kind of guys that we've depended on. And so we really need to have some more people get those CDLs and help us take our kids around.
Well, that takes a little time to get the CDL and to get the endorsement.
It does. It does. Even though Robin, last time we were here, I think he was looking on the internet to check out the tests and stuff for us all. So
doesn't look like an instant win, and a little work goes in.
Yeah, it does. And you know, and we have had luck. There's been a few people that, you know, were driving full time that have said, "Okay, I'll take a trip here or there." And that helps. I mean, just even having, you know, one person give one trip a week really helps take off the pressure off of some of those guys that are doing it every day. So that's been much appreciated as well. And then, you know, the last thing, I guess, you know, we did Tuesday, we did go down and played, finished up soccer this week. Didn't necessarily end the way we wanted. We lost both games, but the kids still had a good time and played hard. That was the deal. And you know, I was down there for both games, and just, I was very impressed with our kids, just good attitude of, you know, we're going to finish hard. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to see.
All right.
Thank you, Bryce.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You guys have a great week.
You too. We'll see you next week.